Good morning, church. That's not exciting enough. Good morning, church. I like us to just give a clap offering to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The only God, the true wise God. He is faithful. He is true. He is forever the same. He never changes. He is God, immutable, forever. He is your God. You like it or not, he is there for you. Hallelujah. And today, I want to bring us the word on peace. Shalom. Shalom. I'll start with reading us a psalm. Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I hope that's the same case with you. You choose to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because that's where we find peace. In the presence of God, there is peace. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you that your people made the conscious choice to come to your presence, to have a fellowship with one another, and to listen to you today. And I ask, O Lord, that you make me your mouthpiece, not just what I've desired to speak to the people, but let it be what you want your people to hear at this point in time. Thank you, Living Father, for you are faithful, and we trust in you completely. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Shalom. It's a greeting. It's a Hebrew word. And generally translated to English will mean peace. The Arabians, they call it salam. If you go in the Middle East, they just go about telling you, salam alaikum, peace be unto you. Various cultures have various words for peace. I think the Greek one is Irene. And they go about. And peace has become a thing that is dominant in the world nowadays on our news and all that because of what we're going through. No, that's David's one. All right. And while I was thinking about peace, I kind of try to imagine what it is like in different ways that we express it. And nothing expresses it more than the way we write things down. Different cultures have created different symbols we put together to make words come alive. And you can see there is the Chinese one, God knows. The one on the black background, that is Arabic writing. Peace, same. The one in the middle there, Uredo. That is actually my home language, Igala. And the way, if I try to translate it into English, it gives you more picture into what peace could mean to different cultures. Uredo means the flourishing of the heart. And that's what we consider as peace. And it goes on to that one there is the Russian one, pronounced as mir. That's peace. In a world of dissatisfaction, in the middle of plenty, where war and warmongering becomes something of fashion, I don't know, because I don't understand why, when we have so much, we still struggle for so much. Where with all the gadgets and communication means in our rooms, in our hands, wherever we go, we are still lonely. Where the world has so much and there are people still dying of hunger and starvation in certain parts of the world. Where there are misaligned political agendas, we just go about and everybody tries to twist the truth to suit what they want the people to believe as truth. Where there is turmoil everywhere, what one of the most needed commodities in life nowadays becomes this thing called peace. What is peace? The secular definition of it, I went on to Google to see what Google has to say about peace. Say peace means being free from persecution because of one's nationality, immigration status, race, ethnicity, political affiliation, religious belief or lack of it, or sexual preference. Bring it home together. It means where there is no persecution, where there is no agitation, where there is agreement all around, where there is calmness. Peace also comes from the comfort of knowing that you have a roof over your head, you have food to eat, you have a loving family to go to, and friends around you. But our peace is constantly under attack. What fills our mind when we sit down to watch the TV? You wake up in the morning and you put the TV on and you hear the news of something that is happening somewhere in the world and your peace is taken away. What happens when you go to your work and you are under attack by members who are co-workers and they think you're weird because you're a Christian? All that is happening is distortion and lies. Where we should be calm and enjoy ourselves, we allow the distortion from the pit of hell, from the devil, the master of lies, to create an environment where we begin to feel the insecurity, the turmoil, and it takes the tranquility out of our lives and we become troubled without peace. We need to meditate on our scripture when that happens. This will calm our fears. It will give us hope and bring us the peace we need. I try to hone it in into what peace should look like to us as Christians. Shalom, in Christian sense, goes deeper than what the world thinks peace is. It signifies the feeling of well-being on the inside and outside. It is used to describe a deep-found, profound health, happiness, quietness, soul tranquility, prosperity, security, and being in tune with God. Because when you're in tune with God, no matter what happens on the surface, no matter how rough it seems, you know that God's got your back and you never worry because he's in charge. The Bible tells us that everything that was made for and by him. So if God has us in his palm, why do we allow the world to rob us of our peace? Isaiah 48:18 sounds it in a very nice way. It says, if you had paid attention to my command, your peace would have been like a river. And I begin to picture what a river is. I'm a rural boy. I grew up in a rural environment, and I dive into the local river that is flowing, and there are lots of things happening inside the river. But when you are coming in from the riverbank, it's just calm and flowing. Underneath, there are bumps, there are stones, there are wood that are falling into it, there are fishes moving, there's a lot going in, but that calmness is there. So when I read this Isaiah's version of what peace sounds like, I can reckon with it. That calm calmness is there in the midst of all that is happening. So the true biblical shalom means an inward sense of completeness or wholeness. Inner completeness, tranquility. It means you're not worried. It means you're fine. Jehovah Shalom. That's a name that somebody called God when he found peace in God. So in the Bible, we come across this story about the children of Israel rebelling against God over and over again. And then they fall away from God. God leaves them to be dealt with by unbelievers of sorts. And they go into trouble, and God raises people for them to save them back. We have stories of ladies like Deborah, Jephthah, and the rest of them, Samson, my namesake, by the way. But today I'm not going to talk about Samson. I'm going to hone in on the guy that named Jehovah, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace, he says. And that's Joshua. I know, Gideon, sorry. So at this point in time in Israel, Israel have sinned again. And God had turned his back on Israel. They had no food. Their farms have been taken over by the Midianites. Even their work tools have been seized by the Midianites. There was nothing for them. And they were living in fear. They had no peace. And so, under this attack at this time, they cried unto God. And God heard them and raised a new judge for them. And this time, God picked a guy called Gideon. And Gideon originally was a farmer, and he stood in the corner and was trying to do his own thing. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And he called him a great warrior. You are going to save Israel. I can imagine how Gideon felt, hiding in the corner, doing his trying to get the little corn he has gleaned and trying to mill it and all that. And the angel coming to call him a great and mighty warrior who is going to deliver Israel. And he says, hello, are you sure? You're talking to the right person here. How come all this is happening to Israel? Was it not the same God that delivered us from the land of Egypt, that brought us through the midst of water? What happened? Why has he forsaken us? Who am I? I'm not even a trained warrior. How will you call me a great warrior? He was perplexed. And God told him, the angel said, repeated what God had, the message of God, I will be with you. I will be with you. What a comforting word to know that God will be with him. And I will say today, God is telling us, I am with you. That's an inch further than I will be with you. He is with you. And our Lord Jesus took it one inch further. He says, I will always be with you. So not in the past, I will be coming. He is with you. And he will never leave you because he will always be with you. So, at this juncture, Gideon was not sure what was happening. Me, great warrior. Okay. In his mind, okay, let me just make you something to eat, he says. He tells this person that brought this big news of what he was not believing, that he was going to be the champion, the leader. And he went and he says, wait, I will make you something to eat, please. And the guy says, okay, I will wait for you. And he went and prepared the meal and brought it. The angel says, keep it on that stone there. And he did. And he touched it with his walking staff. The fire came and consumed it. For me, that was very symbolic. Why? Because then, if they made an offering unto God, it is with striking and burning, making a burnt offering. And here, the food was instantly consumed, disappeared by flames. It tells Gideon something, surely. Yes, God is really, really on this case. That confidence starts building. The true warrior starts coming up. And so the day continued. And Gideon went to war. Gideon started gathering. Oh, first of all, he done something spectacular. He moved about, destroyed all the gods that has been established, the fake gods, the idols that were established. He went about destroying them. And they say, who done this? Who brought down the temple of Baal? And they said, that is Gideon. And when they came to take him and kill him because he had destroyed their god, his father stood for him there and said, well, why are you fighting for the gods? Let Baal fight for himself. And from that point, Gideon earned another title. His name became Jerubbaal. Let Baal contend with him. If Baal is powerful enough, let him deal with this guy. The story got better. I'm not sure I have a lot of time to go through all this, but I'll try my best to bring it together. Gideon gathered 32,000 people, army from the various tribes of Israel. He belittled himself. He's from the wee tribe of Manasseh, from a little town, and he was to be the leader, the champion of the big army. But he still done his best. Put out the word in Israel and gather 32,000 people to go and fight against 135,000 Midianite army. One fifth. But God told him, that's still too many. If you go with this army and you win, you will think you have fought the battle on your own. God says, tell the people to go home, those that are not prepared for the war. 22,000 of them left, 10,000 left. I'm sure at this point Gideon will be going, what is happening here? How can I stand with 10,000 against 135,000 men? At this point, Gideon was beginning to ask God for tests and approvals. Yeah, God, I'm going to put a fleece outside. If it's wet, all that, then that means you are with me. If it's not wet, and God honored him despite his doubt. He put the fleece was wet. He was still not happy. I want to test one more time. Be patient with me. I'm going to keep the fleece. And if everywhere else is dry, is wet, and the fleece is dry, surely I will know you are with me. I stand here and I'm making like a jest of what Gideon done, but are we not all like that sometimes? God is speaking to us clearly. But we refuse to receive the word and we begin to try to find way to move about it. But when God wants to do what he wants to do, he just does it anyway. So this guy put the fleece the next day and it's dry and there's dew all around. He was still not happy. God asked him to go into the camp of the Midianites and he had the story that was going on. And they were telling themselves, I had a dream, blah, blah, blah. The God had given this land to Gideon. Gideon was like, whoa. So he came back with his servant and relayed the story, and that was a morale booster. But then it didn't just end that Gideon went to war with just 10,000 against 135,000. God was still thinking, this guy will still think he's a superstar. So what happened? He said, take them to the waterside. Let them drink. Those that cup the water into their hands with their weapon ready by their side are the ones you're going to go to the war with. Out of the 10,000, guess how many he got? 300. He must have. I can imagine myself being Gideon here. Whoa. How? That's impossible. Those kind of things will go through my head. 300 against 135,000. It must have felt like the Spartans. Did any of you watch the movie called The Spartan, The 300 Spartans? When it came out, all of us were rushing to the cinema to watch this movie where 300 people stood against the massive army of Xerxes the Persian, I think, yeah, is. And there's flocks of people, armies coming, and these 300 guys stood there and they were doing their own thing like they were super, super, super duper humans and winning the war nonstop till there was a betrayal. May we learn not to betray what God had ordained in our lives. When we are given an ordinance to move forward, let's not step backward. So, cutting long story short, the war happened and God stepped in. Even the Midianites started killing themselves. The Israelites were not actually in fighting there like killing the 135,000. They turned on each other. The sound that they had, the smashing of the torchlight and all that, and the shout of triumph for the God of Gideon and the God of Israel. And boom, the fear they had, they turned on each other. And it was a victorious day. So, we should recognize our need for peace. That is where the Israelites came from. When they were down in the pit, they realized their folly. They cried unto God. But if you don't know you are in a mess, you won't need the salvation. We need to know when we need peace in our lives, which is nowadays all the time, basically. At this stage, you pray. Try praying. Are you down in the pit? Try praying. Is your job threatened? Try praying. Are you happy? Are you successful? Try praying. Is your brother down and you want God to step in? Try praying. In all situations, we need to pray. Prayer is our relationship with God. We talk, he talks, he's talking, we are listening, our mind is constantly attuned to God's will. And that's what prayer is. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And when you pray, you will receive it. Simple. One of our favorite verses when we were young ones was Matthew 7:7. Seek, you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. That's the word of God. It's true. So when you pray for his peace, he says, I will give you peace, not like the world gives. I will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. That calms your mind and soul. And I say, worship God when you get the peace. Because the reason for our creation is worship. So in whatever we do, we just worship God. Thank him for what he has done. Thank him for the peace he has given you. Thank him that Jesus came on the cross and died for us and takes away our worries, our pain. Worship God in every situation. He bought us that peace on the cross of Calvary when he came and hung there. He who had no sin had to die for us, the sinners. And not just that he died for us, the sinners, we were there mocking him. There's this song that says, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? When you do anything that those people did in the past, it's us crucifying him over again. So in worship is obedience. Obedience is sticking with what God's plan is for you, what his instructions are for your life. And when you do that, you're giving him that worship. There is richness in the peace of God for our lives. And when you are there, no matter what the turmoil is around life, it doesn't really, really touch you. Somebody says, you're calm like a cucumber. I say, I know. That's because I know who I serve. I have peace all the time. So, when we have peace, we have God in our life. When we have God, we have everything we need. So I want you to go away today. Think God. Try praying. Ask for peace. Trust in God. He is your God and He is for you. Amen. So, as you all know, those who know me, I like Aaronic blessings all the time. So I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. It's the priestly blessing. And this blessing is special. It's just like the prayer of Jesus, our Father, who are in heaven. This one is also a prayer which God had asked the priests to pray over Israel at all times. So today I'm going to make an attempt at praying it in the language that the priest will do it in Israel. Yavecha Adonai Vishmerecha. Adonai Panev Elecha Vishneka. Yisha Adonai Panav Elecha Vishem Ilka Shalom. And what this simply means is, may God bless you, may God keep you, may God let His face to shine upon you, and may God give you peace. Amen.
Thank you, Sams. What a great word. And I was just thinking, Sams, as you were speaking there, I wonder, what are we doing? We were thinking about Gideon. What are we doing that only God can get the glory for? Just a challenging thought. Are we stepping out? Are we trying anything that we know we can't do in our own strength, that we know we can't do without God helping us? And so I just want to challenge us with that thought. And Sams, you have demonstrated that you live in the peace of God, and what you're sharing today, you live out. And we thank you for your example in that, and for Mary as well. And we just pray blessing on you guys as a family. And we're going to finish off our time of worship. Band's going to come back up. We're going to sing that song, Hymn of Heaven. And so let's just stand again to pray to praise Him and just to worship the King of Kings in our gathering today.
There.
join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. The heroes of the faith, with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall reign, so let it be today. Shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. So let it be today. Shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy. Father, we just thank you for this eternal hope that we have. We thank you for your enduring presence in your lives, Father. In our lives, you've said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Father, we thank you that that's true. No matter what we face in life, and Father, no matter what we enter into this week, we know that you'll be with us. Father, we know that that peace which transcends all our understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. But Father, it depends on us coming to you with that thankful heart, coming to you with our prayers, our petitions, and our requests. And Father, we just pray that you'd stir up a heart of prayer within us. Father, that you'd cause us to seek you out. And Father, maybe there are people in this place today and they have never made a decision to invite Jesus into their heart. Maybe some who are joining us online today and you've never made a decision to invite Jesus into your heart, to experience that peace which surpasses all understanding. It goes beyond anything we can understand. I'm going to pray a prayer, and you can pray that prayer after me today, just quietly into your heart, and just invite Jesus in. He is the Prince of Peace, and he will give you that peace, no matter what you're facing in life. And we just ask that Father, you would come in this moment. Father, come into my heart. May you become Lord in my life. I recognize that there are things in my life that just aren't right just now, and you want to come and make them right. And so I just come before you today and confess my need of you. Come and forgive me. Come and heal me. Come and make me new. Come and live in my life, in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray that anyone who prays that prayer today, that you'd come and that you just enter into their heart. Lord, that you would fill them with your Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you just begin to do a new thing in hearts and lives today. Lord, bless us as we go out into this week. May we know the peace of God in every situation, no matter where we find ourselves this week. Lord, we pray that we would experience your peace, your presence, and your protection. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great week. And we just ask that God would presence himself in your life in a new way this week. Amen.